Welcome to Exaltation. I'm Father David Masterson, bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true on the Voice of Hope Radio. Every day will I give thanks unto you and praise your name forever and ever. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Come, let us worship God our King. O come, let us worship and fall down before Christ our King and our God. O come, let us worship and fall down before the very Christ our King and our God. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian life, said G.K. Chesterton. Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. And joy is love, said Mother Teresa. What is joy, and why is it so important? Webster defines joy as the emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness happens when your happenings happen to happen the way you want them to happen. Joy is deeper, stronger, and more fundamental. Joy is like fresh streams of water which run hundreds of feet below the surface of the earth. Helen Keller said, "Resolve to be joyful, and you shall form an invincible host against every difficulty." In Isaiah chapter 40, we see God comforting us by forgiving our sins, protecting us from our enemies, and gently shepherding us with His love. By comforting, protecting, and shepherding us, we experience the joy of God. In Psalm 100, we hear these wonderful words, "O be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with a song." The more we experience God's involvement in our everyday lives, the greater is our experience of the joy of His presence. Now, we know all these things. We know that joy is not the same as happiness, and that joy is absolutely fundamental to Christian experience. It is also true that each of us longs to have an underlying sense of joy, even when things are going quite badly. So what keeps us from the joy that is our rightful inheritance as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse 4 of our passage. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, beloved, what does rejoice mean? It means be joyful again. There is a reiterative quality about this word, isn't there? To renew something is to make it new again. To reform something is to form it again. So rejoice means joy again. How do we put the re back into rejoicing? It is by being grateful for the joy that God has already given to us. Each time we are grateful to God for who He is and what He has done, the joy is given to us again. God gives us the joy, and then He commands us to give it back to ourselves again and again. Rejoice always. Now, beloved, this explains how people in difficult circumstances still manifest deep joy. They are always grateful for any joy God has given to them, and the more they are grateful, the more the joy is rejoyed again. The message of Philippians 4:4 is, rejoice. Do not let the joy trail away from you. Whatever gratitude you remember, whatever thankfulness you remember, let it bring new joy to your heart. We are to take joy in the sacrifices we make, in all the good works which God asks us to do for one another. We are to take joy in being content in our circumstances, whether we are in great plenty or in great scarcity. When we are thankful and contented with what God has given us, we experience His joy. Look at Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What do these verses mean? Anxiety and worry steal away our joy. The King James Version says, be careful for nothing. Now, this doesn't mean act irresponsibly. We can be responsible about our duties and obligations, but do them with an attitude of great joy. What the verse is telling us is that we aren't supposed to be full of care, meaning we're not to be anxious about things. The text says, be anxious for nothing. Many translations say, don't worry about anything, but pray always about everything. Our trouble, beloved, is that we don't obey this verse. We do worry about things, and we do become anxious and upset. Instead of fretting or worrying or being anxious, what does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to go to Him and say, Lord, this is all very much too much for me. I can't handle this. You have to handle it for me. The truth is that being careful chokes out the joy of the Lord and affects our spiritual stability. For this reason, we need to pass our cares and anxieties onto the Lord and leave them in His keeping. We can then respond with thanksgiving in the knowledge that He will carry our anxieties away. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, all your anxieties and worries on Him, because He cares for you. You are listening to Exaltation, This is Father David Masterson bringing you the beautiful, the good, and the true on the Voice of Hope Radio. Let's continue our lesson. During a recent outreach mission, I was suddenly seized with severe low back pain and spent most of the night trying to alleviate my problem. I began to experience anxiety and worry. I thought, "We must cancel the mission. I will not have the strength to go forth." But by turning my anxiety over to the Lord and praying to Him, and seeking to unite my sufferings with His, even though I was in pain, God enabled me to go forward and carry out the mission. Now, this is a very small concern compared to a crisis you may be facing. Some in my listening audience face enormous challenges in your personal life, in your marriage, your family, or your community. But the choice we all face in every crisis, large or small, is either to worry and fret or to trust the Lord. The Lord is always with us. He simply waits for us to connect with Him by prayer and put our cares and anxieties onto Him. Let's look at the sequence of these verses. In verse 4, Paul gives us the command, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Then he says in verse 5, "Be gentle towards all men because the Lord is near." When we exercise a non-demanding, gentle spirit with others, we greatly reduce stress and provide a space for God's joy to enter in. Then in verse 6, Paul says, we must allow the joy and peace to enter into our hearts through what? Through prayer. It is through prayer that God's joy comes into our inner being. Prayer takes our worries and anxieties and places them into the arms of Jesus so that He can handle them and our frail shoulders are no longer trying to carry them. Then verse 7 is the result. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard is very instructive. Paul uses a military word for standing on guard. He was writing this from prison with a sentinel guarding him at all times. He is saying, beloved, if you will pray and turn your worries over to God, the peace of God will stand like a sentinel on guard over your heart. David in the Old Testament experienced peace and joy in a time of great distress. We find the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men had left their home city of Ziklag to go out and fight against the army of the Philistines. After 3 days of fighting, they returned to their homes only to find that the Amalekites had overthrown the city of Ziklag and burned it to the ground. All their wives, sons, and daughters had been taken captive and all their earthly possessions destroyed. The scriptures says, "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no strength left in them." Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter, each one because of his sons and daughters. Now, beloved, one of the wonderful things about Holy Scripture is how the Bible portrays life as it really is. The Bible gives us a picture of real men and women in the actual warp and woof of everyday life. Bad things happen in the Old Testament. People do bad things against one another, and the godly suffer because of it. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 30 is a realistic portrait of a tragedy. David has real emotions. He is devastated at the loss of his wife and children. He is distressed because all his men are embittered and talking about stoning him. But then we read these stirring and galvanizing words, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Looking back 3,000 years to this event, I want to stand up on my feet and say, yes, way to go, David. I want to cheer and clap and cry out, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is the triumph of faith. David is distressed. He is devastated and he is discouraged, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He modeled 3,000 years ago for us today what Paul is trying to teach us in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in every circumstance, even in calamity, even in devastation, worry, and discouragement, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. King Hezekiah is another example of someone who knew how to lean hard on God in a time of crisis. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, the mighty army of the Assyrians attacked the city of Jerusalem. Back in Hezekiah's day, just the mention of the word Assyrian was enough to bring terror into your heart. We need to remember who these people were. The Assyrians, of all the ancient peoples on the earth, were the most horrifyingly brutal in their treatment of prisoners. The Assyrian soldiers would routinely skin their captives alive, causing excruciating torture and pain. In one city, they impaled all the men on wooden stakes and left them to slowly die in the hot sun. What they did to the women and children, I am not permitted to say in public. This is horrific. King Hezekiah knew this, as did the entire city of Jerusalem. Therefore, when the Assyrian army surrounded Jerusalem and cut off their food and water supply, it was a monumental crisis of great proportion. Rabshakeh, the leader of the Assyrian army, rode his horse up to the city gates and cried out with a loud voice, "You men who sit guarding the wall, you are doomed to eat your own dung and drink your own urine. Don't listen to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah says, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.' Has any other nation been delivered from the great hand of the great king of Assyria? No, neither will your God deliver you." Then Rabshakeh put his speech in writing and sent it by messengers to King Hezekiah. Hezekiah took the letter, read it, and went into the house of the Lord and spread it out on the altar before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed in 2 Kings chapter 19, "O Lord, the God of Israel, who art enthroned above the cherubim, Thou art the Lord. Thou alone art the God of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. And now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou alone art God." Beloved, there are several rich and beautiful prayers in the Bible. This is one of them. I can see the old king, his hand shaking, carrying the letter from Rabshakeh into the temple, getting on his knees and falling on his face before the Lord. He knows the horror that awaits his people if the Assyrians capture them. No doubt he feels deeply and is consumed with worry and fear for his people and for their safety. Yet Hezekiah obeys, even in a time of great crisis. This is the beauty of being a God-fearer. Hezekiah doesn't deny the reality of his human situation. He doesn't pretend that his feelings don't exist. He takes the letter, he gathers up all of his carefulness and his worry and his fear and lays it out on the altar of the Lord, falls to his knees, and prays earnestly from his heart. This is a portrait of a real God-fearer. This is a man who takes all that he is and places himself and his anxiety directly into the arms of the living Lord. I would like everyone listening to have a share in Hezekiah's experience. If you are able, dear listener, I invite you to sit comfortably wherever you are and close your eyes for a moment. Place your hands gently in your lap and relax. Breathe in Jesus and his love. Exhale worry and anxiety. Breathe in Jesus and his love. Exhale worry and anxiety. Now, as you sit before the Lord, look at Jesus Christ standing before you with his arms outstretched. He says the words we read so often in worship, "Come unto me with all your worry and anxiety, and I will give you rest." As you look at Jesus, give him whatever it is that causes worry, anxiety, and fear. Each care, each anxiety, deliberately take and hand it over to Jesus Christ the Lord. Keep breathing in Jesus and his love. Exhale worry and anxiety. Continue to breathe in Jesus and exhale worry and anxiety. What just happened, beloved? You just cleared a way for the Lord in your heart. You did some soul house cleaning. And what was the result? The joy and peace of God. The more we sweep away the debris of worry, anxiety, and fear, the more we will experience the peace and joy of God's presence. Joy is the gigantic secret of the Christian life, said G.K. Chesterton. Joy is prayer. Joy is strength. Joy is love, said Mother Teresa. You've been listening to Exaltation, bringing the beautiful, the good, and the true on the Voice of Hope radio broadcast. This is Father David Masterson with Gaudete Ministries. You may reach us on the web at thebeautifulthegoodthetrue.com. That's all one phrase, easy to remember, thebeautifulthegoodthetrue.com, or by email at dlmserve@gmail.com. That's dlmserve@gmail.com. Please get in touch with us. We really appreciate hearing from our listening audience. Share a prayer request and we will pray for you. Until next time, may God richly bless you with this word of encouragement from the prophet Isaiah. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths become weak and tired, and young men fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.